Now, here's the special note. Who will live on the earth during that 1,000-year kingdom? Who will be here? Well, the Lord's going to be here. Yeah, when the Lord arrives and he's coming on his white horse from heaven, he is going to be here and he's going to come to make this his home, and he will dwell among mankind. Now, we're not talking about God the Father here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus, God the Son. When he gets here, he will dwell among men again. Now, the Old Testament saints are going to be there too. Not to be left out, all the saints of the Old Testament time will join the bride on the return back to establish this kingdom here on earth. From Adam's son Abel, the first man to die on the earth. Adam's son Abel was the first man to die on the earth. To the thief on the cross, who was promised a place in paradise, they will all be here. Think of all the Old Testament saints. You're going to get to know Jeremiah, Samuel, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Hey, boys, how was it in the fire? Did you really not feel the fire? Think of all the questions you have to ask and how great it's going to be. You've told these stories over and over. You've taught them to the little kids. You're going to get to find out the real story, the rest of the story. Abednego, Jonathan, Moses, Joshua, Amos, Obadiah. That's just a few of the names of those all those Old Testament saints who are going to be back here on earth. And they have jobs and they have responsibilities that they're in charge of. The New Testament saints will be there. Now, I want you to understand there's two categories of New Testament saints. Two categories. First of all, the first group is the category of the New Testament saints that encompasses all those believers who have lived and died from the time that Christ was resurrected until the church was snatched away. When the Lord comes to snatch the church away, this first category, their bodies are already in the grave. Now, their souls have been with the Lord, and they're going to return with the Lord for their bodies to come out of the grave, to be resurrected, to be transformed, and to join their souls back in heaven in the clouds, as the Scripture tells us. So they are going to be there. And in many cases, that is the situation for all of us. Unless the Lord snatches the church away pretty quick, some of us are going to go and be part of this group through the first group here, because we are going to enter eternity through what we call the portal of death. Our body's going to go in the grave, but it instantly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to grab us by the hand and take us back to be with him. He's got a place prepared for us. He said to them, he gave us the promise in John chapter 14. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. A death angel doesn't come for you. The Lord comes for you. And let me tell you something, just a personal testimony. Getting off the notes just a little bit. When my mother died, and my mother was a great saint of God. When my mother died, the last words she said as she looked up into the edge of the room, she said, "Oh, you are so beautiful." And she took her last breath. Now, I don't know, but I just believe that that was Jesus who was there, who was so beautiful. Yes, and yes, ma'am.
My mother, her last words, she opened her eyes.
Yes, yes.
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. So, ooh, I just love that. I'm getting excited, a little charismatic there, okay? Don't worry, I'll settle down. You don't have to worry about that. All right, there's a second group that's going to be there. The second group will be all those who are alive on earth when the Lord snatches the church away. You see, they won't have to go through the portal of death. And the sad part about that is I have spent the last 50 years of my life waiting for this to happen and wanting it to happen tomorrow or the next day. Do you know how disappointed I was when I finally read the scripture and realized that there are promises that have to be fulfilled before that could happen? I was really disappointed. In fact, I got to the point where I realized knowing stuff about the end time was ain't no big deal anyway, okay? Because it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be. We can't change the circumstances. Nothing can be changed because the Lord's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to take me when I'm ready. He's ready for me to go. And my job here on earth is to worship the Lord, equip the saints, and evangelize the sinners. That's my task. That is my duty. It is not my duty to say, "Oh, he's coming tomorrow." I can't tell you that. But I can tell you what's in the scripture. I can equip you. I can tell you what is there. But I can't tell you when it's going to happen because we do not know when it is going to happen. But those who believe the Lord and accept him and have been snatched away by him when he comes to get his bride, we will also be there. And we're in our spiritual bodies. You see that little tagline off the side? We're all in spiritual bodies. The Old Testament saints, the Lord, the New Testament saints, we're in spiritual bodies. Now, these two groups will represent the bride of Christ and will return with him riding on their white horses. And they will be here in their spiritual bodies dwelling among humans. The humans will be able to see us. We will not look like ghosts. We have purpose to be here. We will be managing and governing for the Lord all over the world, the people who are still in human bodies. Now listen, the tribulation saints are also there. I mentioned that at the beginning. The tribulation saints are there from all the people who accepted the Lord during that time of the tribulation and died for their faith during the time of the tribulation. They too will have their robes of white. And they will join the bride as we make our way back as that mighty host of God, as we follow the Lord and he descends here on from heaven to earth. And these people will be the ones, these tribulation saints, who will wave their palm branches as the Lord makes his final triumphal entry, not only into Jerusalem, but also into the temple area to take his seat on his great white throne. So they're all the ones who are going to be here in spiritual bodies. Now, in physical bodies. Well, the 144,000 Jews, the Israelites, are going to be healed here. You remember they were sealed at the very beginning of the tribulation time so that no one could hurt them. No one could attack them. They have the name of the Lord written across their foreheads. And they will be 12,000 from each of the tribes as a nucleus. These are men. These are not including women. These are men who will go and they will live 12,000 on each of the pieces of plots of land that have been designated for them. By the way, just remember from the last lesson, Israel has never occupied more than 10% of the promised land. Never. And it will not ever occupy the entire promised land until the Lord sets up his 1,000-year kingdom. Well, these 144,000 will be there. They'll be there in their earthly bodies. The Israelites. Now, sad part about it is, during the time of the tribulation, two-thirds of the Israelites who are alive during the time of the tribulation will die during the time of the tribulation. Two-thirds of them will die, meaning only that one-third will be the remnant that makes it into the kingdom. Of all those who will be coming to populate that huge area that called the Promised Land from all the corners of the world, that's only one-third of the Jews who were actually alive at the beginning of the tribulation are actually there in that 1,000-year kingdom. They're the ones who survived the 1,000-year kingdom. They're in their human bodies, and they will join the 144,000 who are dwelling there in their tribal areas. Finally, next, the Gentiles from all the nations. Humans in earthly bodies from all the nations of the world will enter the kingdom age. The Lord says through Zechariah this: then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. They did not take upon them the mark of the beast, and therefore they were not required to go with the rest of their nation buddies, countrymen that had taken the mark of the beast. They did not go to the Valley of Armageddon to fight against the Lord. So all these people will be there in their earthly bodies. Now, for 1,000 years, life will go on with the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be no other governmental reigns during that time. No government will have any charge or reign over them. But when the 1,000 years is up, it will be the beginning of the 8,000th year of man's history here on earth. When the 1,000 years are complete, a series of events will take place that will change the whole nature and structure of the world. First of all, Satan will be released to deceived. Revelation chapter 20 says this: And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Well, that door is going to be open there in that abyss. Down at the bottom of the deepest ocean. That's what an abyss is. It's an ocean. The door will be open, the chains will be cut off of him, and Satan will be released from those chains, and he will once again be allowed to deceive the nations. And the scripture goes on to tell us there in that chapter that he can only do it for a short period of time. He will deceive even the people that he fought against in the middle of the tribulation time. You remember that battle in the middle of the tribulation that we talked about was against Gog and Magog, the king of the north, and all his compadres from the east and from the south. And his people were called Magog because Gog is the king of Magog, which is just north of Israel. They were deceived by Satan. They even listened to Satan. He fought against them, but it's been over 1,000 years, and they do not remember the situation at that point in time. And they will be deceived by Satan. Finally, after the short period of time is over, when all that are going to be deceived have been deceived by the Lord, and they are as numerous as the sands of the seashore. And you want to read about that, you can read over in that little, in my scripture area, you can go read Revelation chapter 20, Revelation, Zephaniah chapter 1. They're as numerous as the sands on the seas. They will go and they will gather outside of Jerusalem in that valley north of Jerusalem. Oh, by the way, it's called the Valley of Jezreel. Oh, by the way, it's called the Valley of Decision. Oh, by the way, at one time it was called the Valley of Armageddon. They gather right back there in that same valley, whatever you want to call it, where more wars have been fought throughout generations in all of the history of the world than any other one place in the world. They will gather back outside there, and they are going to attempt to remove the Lord from the throne that he is sitting on and has been the King of Kings for 1,000 years. He's on his great white throne. The new army will gather outside there. They're going to attempt to take him off and remove him from that throne. Well, once Satan and all of his followers have gathered into place, the Lord, according to these passages of Scripture, will send fire from heaven and it will devour the people. And they will be sent to the place of torment. But Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if you remember, a little more than 1,000 years before this happens, at the Battle of Armageddon, the supreme president of that revived Roman Empire and his false prophet that got him in power by manipulating the people, they have already been thrown into the lake of fire, but everyone else that died that day went to torment. On this day, the same thing happens. They all go to torment except for Satan. Satan will go to the lake of fire. Three are in the lake of fire now, and the rest are in this place called torment outside of Hades. By that time, you need to understand, Satan will no longer be needed in God's plan. Did you hear that? Satan will no longer be needed in God's plan. If Satan's work here on earth had not been the plan of God, God would not have created him. The purpose of God creating Satan was to put out temptations so that you as a person can decide who will be your God. Because God wanted someone who would choose him to worship him. That's the reason why he gave us all a will and a choice. For those who go off to torment and then eventually to the lake of fire, that is their choice. And they will never be in his presence again, and they will never have the opportunity to worship him. But for those of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we will be in his presence forever. And he wants us there because he wants those of us who have rejected the deceit and the deceiving of Satan and chosen the Lord's way above Satan's ways. The deeds of all these unbelievers of all times who were influenced by Satan of all time have been written down in a series of record books that are in heaven, so that whenever they come before the Lord on His great white throne, no one will have an excuse when they stand before the Lord. The record of their deeds will be all that they can present to the Lord. Yet, the one important deed that will be missing is that they will not have recorded that they accepted the Savior. That will be absent. Finally, the Lord, when that occurs, will immediately resurrect all the evil people who have been in the place called torment and will bring them to stand before Him on His great white throne, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Do you know where the Great White Throne Judgment occurs? In front of His great white throne. Where is His great white throne located? Inside of the temple on the Holy Mount. And everyone will make their appearance before Him. As the book of life is opened, none of their names will have been recorded in the book of life, which contains all the names of those who've accepted Him as Savior. You see, that book, there are those books, the series of books record their deeds, and they will be opened. The deeds will be read. That is all that the person has to offer the Lord. But because the one important detail is not there, did they accept Him as Lord or not, their name will have been blotted out of the book of life. Now I want you to understand. We asked the question, and we did it when I was growing up. I remember, is your name written in the book of life? And I always conjured up in my mind that when I accepted the Lord, my name was written in the book of life. That the book had blanks in there, and as you accepted the Lord, your name was written there. And then I finally realized as I studied the scripture over and over and over again, no, every name from the beginning of time of everyone who would ever live, their name was written in the book of life. Go to the church there in Philadelphia and look at the blessings of that back in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. The question is, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, then your name is engraved in gold. But if you do not accept the Lord as your Savior, back in those chapters, there's several places, it's three places in the Bible. It teaches us that if we do not accept Him as our Savior and we take our last breath, our name is blotted out of the book of life. Blotted out. So pages upon pages upon pages of the book of life have places where names have been blotted out. And the only names that have remained are those that were engraved in gold and could stand the test of the fire that would come upon. What a beautiful picture it is. There's the picture of the record books. The records are there, the deed books. Believers who have witnessed the gospel to these people while they are on earth, or on earth, will be standing there behind the Lord as witnesses against the unbelievers. Did you catch that? My job today, while I'm in this human body, number one is to worship God. Number two is to equip you to go and evangelize people to bring them to the Lord. Once you accept Christ, you really have no other main purpose. Your purpose is to lead others to the Lord. That's our duty here. That's our job. We are to go to witness to them. We are not to determine their outcome of anything. We are just to go and to witness to them. That's our purpose. But after we've received our glorified bodies, when we are there at the great white throne, we will be there in the witness box. While here on earth, we are witnessing to you there. If you've rejected our witness for the Lord and rejected the Lord, we will be in the witness box to say they did not accept our witness of the gospel message. We are witnesses against them there. We are witnesses to them here. So everyone who comes and stands before the great white throne, not one of them will be allowed to enter into the glory of the presence of the Lord ever again after that day. They will all be sent to the lake of fire, never again to stand before His presence. Well, after that great white throne judgment is over, and you might say, well, that's going to take forever. There's a lot of sinful people who have died. Yeah, there are. But just remember, it only takes that time. If God can make all that He made in six days, all that we know and all the universe and all everything, doing that little thing or that judgment thing is no big deal. It doesn't take very long. And when it's over, as in Revelation 21 tells us, immediately following that great white throne judgment, and before another sin can occur here on earth, before He has to bring judgment for sin again, because Satan's gone, all the evil out of torment are gone, you got people in human bodies, you've got those of us in our spiritual bodies that will be there, the Lord will transform everything into sinless perfection. He doesn't transform exactly everything. He transforms all humans into sinless perfection. Never again will sin enter earth. You have to remember, animals don't sin. They don't have to be transformed because they don't sin. Besides that, we're going to have fish and animals and things like that as we go into eternity, because the Scripture tells us this. Well, never again will man be able to be deceived by Satan. And everyone in their human bodies will be transformed into spiritual bodies with robes of white. All the earthly bodies have now become like those of us who return from heaven with the Lord. Never again will the formation of nations separate one group of people from another. Never again. Then after that happens, after everything is transformed, it's part of the best part of all. As far as I'm concerned, the New Jerusalem. With the transformation of the world where sin can no longer be committed by humans, the New Jerusalem will come down from heaven. It will settle over the Holy Mount, that 50 mile by 50 mile. But listen, 50 miles by 50 miles taint nothing compared to the New Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that is there, this new city, it actually already exists. It's in heaven right now. It's there. It was created as God the Father's home, God the Son's home, and God the Holy Spirit's home before this world was created. Remember verse 1 of Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't create the earth and then the heavens. He created the heavens and then the earth. He created His home before He created our home. That city called the New Jerusalem already exists. It is there. It has been the dwelling place of God the Father throughout all eternity. But then, it will come down to remain on earth forever. God with us. God the Father will have His home on earth among sinless men and sinless women. And all things will be new. And as the Scripture says, it is done. New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem measures 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. It's a big place. 1,500 miles. Do you realize if you head off from Houston going north and you drive straight across as the crow would fly, 1,500 miles takes you well into Canada? Did you realize that? Well into Canada. America is only about 3,000 miles wide, so just cut half of it up the middle. Now, if you don't realize how big America is, you haven't flown on many airplanes. It's huge. the city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven where God the Father lives is 1,500 miles. Now listen, it has a formal wall though, even though it's 1,500 miles high, it has a formal wall that is 216 feet high according to the scripture. The streets are made of pure gold. We long to have gold here around here. We want gold. We want to buy gold. We want to hold gold. We want to have gold because we want to be rich. Up there, it's just pavement. It's just like, well, it's going to be better than I-45. I promise you that. Do you know I've been in the Houston area almost 40 years, and I cannot remember I-45 not under construction? I don't think I can remember it being not in construction. Well, up in heaven, the streets have been around since the first day of creation, and they're holding up just fine. They're made of gold. That city has 12 gates, three on each side of each gate. And each of those gates has a door that never shuts. That's interesting. But the door is made of a single pearl. 12 pearls make, I'd love to see that oyster that made the pearls big enough for those gates. You talking about one pearl that had been aggravated for a long time. You know that's how pearls work. You know that's how they work. Okay, a piece of grain, sand gets in there and they're aggravated. So they start trying to cover it to make it feel better. And they keep covering and covering and covering and covering and covering. That's pearls. This is one single pearl. The door into the New Jerusalem, which is there, has been created from a living creature that belonged to the Lord. Now the rest of the foundation and everything like that, those are all minerals that he created. But these pearls, these doors, have been created by a living creature. It has 12 foundations, each with the name of one of the apostles on each level of the foundation. Each layer of the foundation is made of a different precious stone. A river runs through the from the throne of God. That's misspelled. I'm going to correct it. From the throne of God. Trees are on each side of the river that bear 12 kinds of fruit each month. And the leaves can be eaten. See, I told you we got rivers. We got fruit. We got leaves to eat. And we're all in spiritual bodies, folks. We get to eat. The river is filled with fish that will be caught and eaten. And manna. The manna, you know what manna is? Well, yeah, what is it? That's right. What is it? Well, it's the food of angels. We know what it is. It's been told to us what it is, but it's still called manna, and that means what is it? Manna is also provided there as food. And guess what? The tree of life that was placed there in the Garden of Eden at the beginning is there in the New Jerusalem now. It has been revealed. Now, this New Jerusalem coming down, sitting on top of the Jerusalem area, being 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, wherever the Garden of Eden was over there, it is open now, and we know where it was, and the tree is there, and its fruit will be available for all to partake. Now, when the New Jerusalem arrives here on earth, people will come and go from the city called New Jerusalem without fear, because there will be no evil in the world or in the universe at all. There's no temple in the New Jerusalem, by the way. Remember, when that New Jerusalem comes down, it does away with the Lord's temple on his holy mount. There is no temple now. The New Jerusalem has come down, and evidently it has crushed that mount as it set down. There's no temple any longer in this New Jerusalem. The Lord will have his place there in the New Jerusalem, and the people will come to worship him there. The Lord will be the lamp that lights not only the city, but also the entire universe. There will be no sun, no moon, no night. None of those will exist in eternity. The only ones who will live in the New Jerusalem and on the earth will be those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life because they accepted the Lord as their Savior during their time in earthly bodies here on earth. Life in the New Jerusalem, what will it be like in the New Jerusalem? The scriptures, and all those scriptures there in the scripture passage, there's those scripture references tell us this. Life will be filled with knowledge, rest, holiness, joy, abundance, service, and fellowship. When all that transpires, there's still going to be one prophecy remaining to be fulfilled. One important prophecy. All the other promises, all the other prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled. Every one of them, even the ones I haven't found yet, because I'm just earthly. But there's one left. In eternity future, and the gift of the Son to the Father. That one prophecy that is left will be a prophecy that only Jesus can fulfill. He will fulfill it. At the right moment, Jesus will lovingly, humbly, loyally, and graciously hand everything that has been given to him and that belongs to him to God the Father. He will lay it at the feet of God the Father. An eternity future will begin and last forever. You'll notice on your page, and if you'll notice on the screen, I have changed that picture. On your page, where I printed it, I just put the world or the earth. And I thought, well, that's not right, because he owns everything that's out there. So I changed that to a ball of space. Everything that belongs to him in the galaxies and the universes that belong, he hands them to God the Father. All the crowns of everyone, all the harps, all the incense, everything that belongs to the Lord, he hands it and lays it down at the feet of God the Father. And eternity future begins. And it will be glorious. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study what it's going to be like as your promises are fulfilled. But Lord, may we never fail to remember our places here on earth today. May we not be so future end times minded that we forget of what we must do today to make sure our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren know you. And our office buddies and our neighborhoods and our next-door neighbor and everyone know you. Because we don't want them to eventually stand before you on your great white throne judgment. We want them to have their names engraved in the book of life to be with you for all eternity. Lord, we thank you for this time to study your word in your name. Amen and amen.